Let's pray. Let's go to the Word. And let's get with God. Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. God, I thank you for the rain that we are experiencing outside. And I thank you, Lord, that when we come together in your name, that you rain down, that you open up heaven, and that you show up. You rain down your presence, your spirit in our midst, God. You do great and wondrous things. And we're just blessed to be able to come into your presence this morning. We're turning to your word, God. Guide us and direct us and lead us closer to you. Because that's where we want to be. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord is speaking to us about expansion. After all, God is in the business of expanding things, isn't he? Increasing. He's a God of increase. He's a God who moves forward, taking things, taking us, taking his church to new levels, to ever increasing glory as his word declares. That's what God is doing. God is calling us to be the expanding church. And that's the title of the series of messages that God is laying out for us in this season. The expanding church. The Lord has already revealed to us that he is expanding our vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. He's also expanding our love. He's filling us with his love, refilling us with his love. And because of that, our love for God, our love for one another, our love for the lost is expanding. And this morning, we're going to continue this process of expansion as we encounter the Lord's call for his church to be expanding our worship. So that's the title of today's message in this series, Expanding Our Worship. I think it's great that we have a physical representation of this already. If you could look on the other side of the wall that's just to your right, to the east of us right here, we are expanding, literally expanding the size and the capacity of our worship center. Why are we doing it? It's going to allow us to invite other people into this room. There's a picture of the drawing of the expansion project. Notice everything is going to rotate 90 degrees. You're going to be sitting looking east, and the stage is going to be to your right. And so we have this physical representation of the expansion of the worship center so that we can invite others in to this place. However, the act of worship, which is what we do here, actually makes room for a very special guest. Worship invites the presence of the living God. That's what it does. It invites the presence of God himself. And to kind of kick this off, I'd like for you to turn your attention to the screens and hang with me through this video.
What was that?
What was that?
That voice just now, what was it?
We didn't hear anything.
All right.
If you build it, he will come.
Okay, you must have heard that.
Sorry. Hey, come on in to dinner.
Let's go, Pumpkin.
If you build it, he will come. I know some of the younger people in the room might not have seen the movie Field of Dreams. It's a movie about baseball and building a baseball diamond, all right? But that statement, if you build it, he will come. I believe the Lord has been whispering this word to his church throughout history. I believe he's whispering this word to his church right now. If we build it, he will come. If we build it, he will come. If we build a house of worship, if we build a church, a family of worshipers, the living God will show up. He will come into our presence if we build it. He, capital H, he will come. Scripture declares this truth. Psalm 22 verse 3 reminds us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, when we offer true praise to God, he shows up and he makes his dwelling among us. It's kind of like this. This is the picture I get with it. It's kind of like when you're going and you're at a camp out, right? And you're all sitting around the campfire. You get the picture, right? You hear the snap, crackle, pop of the fire and all that stuff. And you start singing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. You know what that means, right? Come near, God. Come near, God. Come near, God. And so we're singing. We're gathered around the campfire and we're singing to God, come near, God. And what happens? Heaven opens up and he comes, and it's like he pitches his tent in our camp with us and spends time with us. Amen. He inhabits. He lives in the place where people are praising and worshiping him. That's exciting. That's exciting. In Psalm 100 verse 4, we're told that we enter God's presence through gates and into his courts by what? Thanksgiving and praise. And God's presence is a pretty significant, exciting place, a special place to be. In Psalm 16 verse 11, Scripture says that you have made known to me the path of life. How many of you want to know the path of life? God, you've made known to me the path of life. You will find me with joy. Where? In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. These are all things I want. I desire these things. I imagine everyone here desires that reality from Psalm 16, verse 11. So what can happen when we expand our worship? I know we've talked about several of the things that we're about to mention. We've talked about these things before at Evident Life Church, but it's time to go back. It's time to dig even deeper into this truth about the presence of God and the connection with worship. After all, if we build it, say it with me, he will come. If we build it, he will come. Here's what the Bible reveals happens when we expand our worship. The first thing that I want to highlight is healing. What happens when we expand our worship, when we build a house, a church, a people, a family of worshipers? Healing happens. When we praise and worship the Lord, we will experience healing and miracles in our lives. I want you to go to the Gospel of Matthew. You can just write down these passages, because in Matthew chapter 8, we find the leper who worshiped Jesus, kneeling before him, worshiping him, and he was healed from leprosy. Healed. As he humbled himself and worshiped the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9, the ruler who worshiped Jesus on his knees had his daughter raised from the dead. You got something dead in your life? God is a miracle-working God. He brings the dead things to life. He does this for people who worship him. The Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15 who worshiped Jesus saw her daughter set free from demon possession. In each of these examples, worship, it's an act of faith. And so in faith, in the midst of pain, suffering, and desperation, what do? We're humbling ourselves, we're bowing our knees, and we're offering our worship to the one who can heal us. That's what we're doing. And so in his great mercy, because he is God and he is good, what happens? The Lord moves with compassion on his beloved, that's on us, and he performs miracles in our lives. He's still doing this for his people, for those who humble themselves and worship him and him alone. So what can happen when we expand our worship? Healing, miracles, healing, but also victory. Victory happens out of the place, through the place of worship. When we praise and worship the Lord, we're going to experience victory in our battles. And I'm going to ask a question, and I'm expecting every hand to go up in this room. How many of you have experienced battles or are in the middle of a battle right now? If you're breathing, your hands up, because this is just the reality of life right now on this side of heaven. You know what I'm saying? We've gone through the battles, we're going through a battle, or it's coming tomorrow. It happens, right? Battles happen. But when we praise and worship the Lord, we're going to experience victory in our battles. When we praise and worship our King, God's presence begins to fill every situation that we're facing, and we start to experience victory in our battles. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 21. Check this out. After consulting the people, King Jehoshaphat, so he's talking with the people, there's something going on, there's a battle that's a brewing that's underway right now. And so he's been talking with the people, he's been consulting with his people. What does King Jehoshaphat do? He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, they were singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And so there's a battle that's happening. The king sends worshipers out in front of the army. I'm still praying for the day that happens in this nation. That our reaction to difficulties in our nation, our reaction to adversity in our nation is to send the worshipers out. To call the nation to a time of praise and worship. Of declaring God's greatness and his goodness over whatever that battle, whatever that situation might be. It's still possible. It happened back in the day with King Jehoshaphat. It can happen again. So what did he do? He sent them out to sing before the army. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, what happened? The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. They were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, what happened? They helped to destroy one another. This is just the worshipers that are causing this to happen. The praise and the worship going forth. Annihilation of the enemy. Let's jump up to verse 29. It says then that the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Peace and rest. The battles were there. They were happening. The response, worship the Lord. The result, peace and rest. Are there battles in your life? Do you need peace and rest? Are you longing for peace and rest? It's not going to come from you toiling and trying to slay the enemy the situation yourself. It's going to come from turning to the Lord and worshiping Him and letting Him fight your battles. So what's your battle? Is fear mounting up in your life? Is it? It does in my life sometimes. Is there confusion? You feel like you're in a season of confusion right now? Everything's just swirling around you? It happens, man. When the enemy comes against us, we can reject fear and instead we can respond in faith. We can expand our worship and watch the Lord take up the battle and bring the victory. That's what we do as the people of God. We bring it to the Lord and we bring our battles, our difficulties to the Lord through this thing called worship. Worship. It says in Psalm 47, it says, clap your hands. Come on. Clap your hands, all you nations. And it says, shout to God with cries of joy. Now that sounds like a Holy Ghost worship meeting to me right there. Clap your hands, shout to God with shouts of joy. And then verse 2 it says, how awesome. After all, come on, we're clapping, we're shouting because how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. What did He do? We know He has subdued the nations among us and under us and the people under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom He loved. God has ascended. Check this out. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. And the Lord amid the sounding of the trumpets. You know what's happening here? Heaven is open up. God is coming down. He's ascending and descending. He's moving. He's causing heaven to rain down on His people as we shout unto God with a voice of triumph, as we worship Him, as we lift up praise to Him. Heaven opens. Whew, God comes down. God comes down. So what does it say in verse 6? So with this reality, understanding God's economy, and this is how it's really happening in real life, it says, so sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, the psalmist said, because this is the reality, what else are we doing? Why are we trying all the other stuff? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Why are we beating at the air? We should just be praising the King of Kings as He opens heaven and comes down on our behalf. You know, I think of the current situations in our culture right now. I mean, there's a lot of mess out there in our culture, a lot of hate. There's a lot of fear, confusion. There's racism. There's violence. A lot of division going on right now. It breaks my heart. It's silliness. It's just the enemy at work. It's what it is. Remember, we battle not against flesh and blood, by the way. All this division isn't about people. It isn't about your neighbor. It's not about that, okay? It's a spiritual force. It's a spiritual battle going on right now. And so with all of this happening, think about this. Could praise and worship be the tool that God has prescribed for crushing the enemy and bringing peace? Could it be? I think so. I definitely think so. And I thought about this. Maybe instead of more social media posts, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's hard to even go out there anymore, right? Instead of throwing more out on social media, maybe we should be getting together more often and worshiping the Lord and lifting up His name, because that's the tool that crushes the enemy and that brings peace and rest in a land. That's what does it. Not another Facebook post. Let's get together. Let's worship the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So what can happen when we expand our worship? Healing. Amen. Victory happens. The third thing, breakthrough happens. When we praise and worship the Lord, we can experience a breakthrough in our lives, and the hindrances to God's blessing can be removed. Again, I'm going to raise my hand and say, I run into hindrances and obstacles, unfortunately, too often. Here's the prescription. Here's the strategy right here. See, Joshua, the people of God, they faced hindrances. They faced obstacles. They faced the walls of Jericho, didn't they? These walls were obstacles to advancement. Advancement into God's promises. They couldn't go any further into the promised land, the promises of God. They were obstacles to God's blessing in their life. They were obstacles to fulfilling the calling that God had on their lives. There were obstacles in their way. However, The Lord gave Joshua, the people of God, a strategy for dealing with those obstacles. It involved marching, but it also involved corporate praise and worship. So check this out, Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. You're familiar with it. They're executing the strategy that the Lord had given them for removing the obstacles, for finding breakthrough in and through their situation. It says, when the trumpet sounded, this is the prescription, this is the strategy for breakthrough and removing obstacles. So when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. Now, I got to go back and I have to tell you this. I used to play the trumpet. Okay, it's a nice, loud, crisp instrument. I played it in high school. I even played it a year in college at Baylor University. I played the trumpet. I played it in the worship band back in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and even DuCoin, Illinois, way back in the day. I played the trumpet, whatever, right? That's my little trumpet sound. It's not real. If you're listening to the recording, I didn't have a real trumpet. That's just my voice. Anyway, so I played the trumpet. We would play this song. Blow a trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. And I would just go, I mean, just, wow, it was great. It was crazy. And so that's what's going on right here in Joshua chapter 6. Okay? There was an obstacle in the way from the people of God advancing into the promises of God, the blessings of God, the calling of God. And they said, get that trumpet out. It's time to blow some praise and worship and see the walls come down. And so that's what they did. Blow a trumpet in Zion. And then they began to shout praises in unison together, declaring, shouting. And let's get back to the passage here. And so, at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, come on, I hear them, I'm imagining they're just, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, shout unto God with the voice of praise, shout unto God with the voice of triumph, we lift your name up, hey, all right. So, anyway, my kids just love it when I sing. They're like, Dad, you always have to sing a song. I can't help it this morning, man. Look what we're talking about. It's so exciting. So the trumpets are blaring. The people are shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. And what happens? They gave a loud shout. The wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and they took the city. The obstacle was removed. They weren't getting out tools and banging on the wall. They were sounding the trumpet. They were praising and shouting and worshiping the Lord. And what happens? God shows up. Obstacles get removed. Breakthrough occurs. And it's that way with us. It's the same with us. God gives us scripture so we know how to interact with Him, so we know how to deal with reality. I think about people who are just beating their head up against the wall. You know, that hurts, right? God doesn't want us to do that. So He gives us insight on how to deal with those obstacles. When we come together playing the instruments and declaring truth in song, the walls of resistance can come down and we enter into the promises that God has for us. I've said this before, 2 Corinthians 10:4. We fight not with the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, we have weapons that have divine power, godly power to demolish, totally destroy strongholds. These are the weapons we're talking about right here. Praise and worship, one of those weapons to demolish strongholds that the enemy has put in front of us. Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a breakthrough? Well, we're going to come together and praise and worship here in just a bit. Let's see the walls come down. Let's see you walking into the promises that God has for you. So what can happen when we expand our worship? Healing, victory, breakthrough. All of these things can happen. If you build it, He will come, right? And I know, like I said earlier, I'm a little excited and I might be a little more juiced up this morning than even usual. But how can I not be? When we're talking about God's economy in this way, I mean, you know, I feel this way. Okay, so we just went to the first round game of my son's high school state playoff tournament and all that stuff, right? So we're at the game, and most of the games, I just kind of sit back, and I just kind of tell my wife everything I think really should be happening. She says, I really don't want to hear it, Eric. I really don't want to hear it. I'm like, I can't help it, all right? I was a high school basketball coach. I can't help it. But when you go into playoffs, I mean, now I'm vocal. I'm standing up, I'm cheering, I'm yelling, I'm feeling that this is for real now. You know what I'm saying? This is for real. It's one and done time. It's time to win. And that's kind of what I'm feeling while I was putting this message together this week. I'm just like, man, this is like one and done time. This is for real. And this is exciting stuff. How can I be calm right now? Anyway. So if I'm a little excited, I'm stressing you out this morning, I'm not always quite this over the top. Just saying that. So when we expand our worship, healing, victory, breakthrough. Number four, we get deliverance. Deliverance happens out of the place of worship. When we praise and worship the Lord, we will experience freedom from our bondages. I want to jump up to the New Testament right now. I want to talk about a couple of guys named Paul and Silas. These guys who loved Jesus, they gave their lives to him, and they preached the gospel everywhere they went. And you know what? People didn't always like that. And so they grabbed these two guys, they beat them repeatedly, they bound them up, and they threw them in prison. So how would these guys respond? How would these men of God respond? Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Here's their response. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They just got beaten up. They just got thrown in chains in a prison, and their response is to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord, and all the other prisoners are listening to them. And out of that response, the Bible has this word that I love. It says, suddenly heaven opens. God's about to descend. A miracle is about to happen. Someone's about to experience deliverance because verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. And so I look at that and I think, do we need something in our lives shaken? Are there chains that have been holding us back from the fullness of God, from really walking in the fullness of His grace? Are there chains that need to be broken off? Praise and worship in the midst of whatever that situation is. These men didn't wait until after God delivered them before they praised Him. They didn't wait. Instead, they used praise and worship to usher in the presence of God and the very power of God that would shake things and bring deliverance to them. Do you need to be set free? Here it is. Praise and worship. We can release the anointing of God. You know what the anointing of God does? It breaks the yoke. Amen. That thing that would want to bind us up. We can release that through worship. So what can happen when we expand our worship? Healing, victory, breakthrough, deliverance. And the final thing we're going to look at is revelation. Revelation can come out of the place of praise and worship. When we praise and worship the Lord, we can receive revelation of His will and of His purpose. When the kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom went to battle against the kings of Moab, they faced a great danger. They ran out of water for their troops. And a thirsty army, an army that's dying of thirst, isn't going to be very successful in battle. So it was a critical situation. It was a big deal. So what did they do? They don't have any water, so they sought the mind of the Lord from the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha, he called for a harpist to play before them. He called for a worshiper, didn't he? He said, I need to hear from the Lord. I need a worshiper right now. I need worship to start happening. So as the harpist worshiped the Lord, what happened? The hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he received a revelation of the promises of God to his people. It says in 2 Kings 3, it's actually verse 15. I think it's wrong on the screen. It says, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he said, this is what the Lord says. And I just want to stop right there as we're going to move forward. Did you see what happened? This man needed to hear the voice of God. He needed direction from God Himself. And so as worship was going up, he inquired of the Lord and he got his answer. He got revelation from God. See, when we expand our worship, it can create an environment conducive to hearing God's voice and receiving revelation from Him. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Are you longing to hear His voice, to know that He's guiding and directing you? Worship Him. Get in His presence through this amazing tool, this gift called worship. Worship Him. We're only scratching the surface. There are so many blessings of heaven that come as we expand our worship. But how do we do this? How are we to worship the Lord? In John 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." And I want to show another video. Hang with me through this one. Now, I'm really asking you for grace. Let's run it.
Yeah, I'm fine. But, buddy, he's in the park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Michael?
Mom!
Michael!
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's kind of working, but not getting off the ground yet.
Buddy, we need power, we're gonna crash!
He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
He knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows it.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Shut up!
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming.
Okay, so you might be saying, what is Pastor Eric doing showing the elf video and Santa Claus is coming to town? Okay, listen, I thought about this clip when I was thinking about the importance of worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. I mean, really doing it. Not just going through the motions. Not just playing games. Not just mouthing it to God with our worship. But spirit and truth. Real worship from the depths of our inner man. Of giving Him our everything. Not playing games. You know what I'm talking about. It says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with what? With gratitude in your heart." You sing them though. You don't just think happy thoughts about them. You don't just mouth them and go through the motions. But because of the gratitude in your heart, because you realize that He is God and you need Him, and He's the author of everything good that's ever been, and you need His presence, out of that place in your heart of knowing, of believing, you cry out to Him in worship, in spirit, and in truth. And heaven opens, and He descends, He comes, and He makes His camp, His presence here with us. Spirit and truth, sincere worship, not self-focused, but God-focused. Sacrificial worship actually puts us in alignment and puts us in that place where we can pass through the veil that Christ tore open for us. sacrificial spirit and truth worship places us in that position to walk into the very presence of the living God. It's no joke. It's no joke. It's no game. It's not going through the motions. It's the real deal, church. The real deal. You want to do this? You want to do this right now? Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of the Lord. It's now. So I want to ask you to stand up. Let's stand up right now. Let's expand our worship right now. There's no time like the present. The Lord is inviting us right now to come into His presence, to enjoy Him, to glorify Him. Let's build it. You know what I'm saying? Let's build it, and He will come. He will come even right here, right now. Let's worship the Lord.